The song service was to encourage you in how much your Father loves you, in case you didn't understand that. We never know what's going to come down the road, and we need to always understand how much the Father loves us. Sometimes we say, God, I wish you wouldn't love me so much, when he puts us in a real bad trial and tribulation. But he knows what you can stand, and he's trying to make you stronger. Amen? Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight. Father, you're the only one that I invited into this church service. And this is your church service. Any other spirit other than yours, Father God, is not allowed in this service tonight. And I'm asking the holy angelic host to go through here and take out anything that's not of you, Father. Holy Spirit, you have full, total, and complete reign in this service. Father God, I'm asking you to clear the atmosphere over us right now. Let your glory fall in all of its fullness right now, Father. And Father, I just truly do thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. We have to be aware of the fact that the battle is raging. We are being attacked on all sides, and this is not a negative statement, it is the truth. A negative statement would be, we don't have any problems. The enemy is never going to touch us. And everything is happy, happy, happy. That's a negative statement because that's a lie. The truth is that we are in battle. The truth is that the enemy is trying to take God's children out. But the ultimate truth is that we have more power and more authority than any devil in hell that's trying to take you out. That's the ultimate truth. And that's the truth you stand on every time you're attacked by the enemy. Just say, devil, you can't have me. I belong to God, and that's a fact, and I stand on that. You can just go and rage around somebody else that doesn't know what kind of a father that they serve, right? God has told us that we're going to have to fight until the day we go home. And I really doubt my word, and I believe my word. And so I don't walk around with my head in the sand. And when an attack comes, I immediately take it to the Father and find out, how do you want me to work with this thing? What is my part in this? Because everything that comes your way, you have a part to play in it. All right? God has done great and wonderful things to us, for us, and around us, and he has been blessing us beyond measure, and that has not made the enemy happy. We are just on the very edge of falling into the greatest glory drop there ever was. And the enemy is trying to take out, I'm telling this because it's what God told me, all right? The enemy is trying to take out as many of God's children as he can at this time. And a lot of people, because of everything that's going on, they don't understand what's going on, they are falling away. Your job as children of God who know the truth, your job is to go and tell the others what's going on and give them hope and let them know they can make it through this thing. All right? And, you know, I'm going to say something some of you are going to be upset about, but you have an alcoholic, you have a drug addict, all right? You have somebody who watches pornography. And I used to do this too. You have to get rid of all your friends that do all this stuff so you can stay free. But what God's been impressing upon me is you should be strong enough to stand in the very center of drugs, of drinking, of pornography, and not let it bother you. All right, and nobody can make you strong. You have to determine your heart, I am not going to do this thing. And devil, you're not going to chase me all over the countryside to get to some place where there isn't any drugs, alcohol, or pornography. Because you're not going to find any place like that. It's everywhere. So while the devil's chasing you around the countryside, you're not winning anything. You have to think about this because God brought this to me and he said they're doing the wrong thing. They need to be seeking my face, my strength, my power, and standing and not giving in to the temptations. Because God said he's made a way out of every temptation. Isn't that what your Bible tells you? Well, you know, every time I turn my computer on, there it is. Well, turn it off. You don't have to sit and look at it. You don't have to entertain it. Get to the place you were going and stay there. Well, you know, somebody offered me a beer. Well, you don't have to take it. You really don't have to take it. It's not easy, but you can stand. Come on. And, you know, I'm watching some people that are, well, you know, I just can't stay right because all my friends do it, and I can't get rid of all my friends because there's no other people. Everybody else does it too. Well, then stand. What does God say? Be. You know, be a child of God and don't give in to those temptations. Well, everybody's a homosexual. No, they're not. Everybody's a lesbian. No, they're not. Your word of God tells you those things are going to take you to hell. So if you're going to, okay, you want to be what everybody else is, then go to hell with them too. It's time you stand on your own two feet and you do what, if you're a true child of God, and you do what you know the word's telling you to do, not what everybody else is doing. God has been looking for men and women, children, who will stand when they've done all to do, still stand and not give in to the wiles of the enemy, hasn't he? You know, somebody in here, you're messed up and you're not going to get right until you decide, hey, I'm going to quit blaming everybody else for what's going on in my life. You are doing what you're doing because you want to do it. And you're going to have to be honest with it, with yourself. And quit blaming others for what you do. Did you really receive Christ? Did you really get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Did you really give up your past? Then why are you running? You know, why are you running? You need to stand still. Somebody needs to be strong enough to say, hey, you know, yeah, I used to do drugs. Yes, I used to be an alcoholic or whatever it is. But I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I don't do that no more. And let me show you who set me free. Somebody in here, you're messed up because this is not what I thought was going to happen. Food for thought. It's up to you. Do you go to heaven or do you go to hell? Do you take the responsibility for your actions, or are you going to always say somebody else caused you to do what you do? I want you to think about this. You young kids, well, nobody else in school is saved. Well, hey, you're supposed to be. So why don't you be the light that gets others saved? I'm reading where young kids are getting other kids saved all over the place. So I don't want to hear that excuse out of you either. No more excuses. I don't know if this is going to go along with, will you be a steward of the high calling of God? You know, sometimes you have to be bold. You have to be forthright. And you have to stand your ground. My second husband, God said, I can't find anybody else that won't go down to his level. And I know you won't, so I'm asking you to marry him and bring him up to your level. He's in heaven today. And I thought that's a shame. One of you young whippersnappers couldn't have done what this old lady did. Come on. Everybody went to his level. And God wanted him saved because somebody prayed for him and God promised him he would go to heaven one day. All right. There, you got that. So you can't say I didn't tell you, all right? Didn't forewarn you. All right, let's start with this teaching, Nancy. For every dispensation of time, the saints are called for to the stewardship of that time, ensuring that God's will is accomplished and his intentions fulfilled. For every dispensation of time, and we are in a new dispensation of time, the saints, that's you and I, are called forth to the stewardship of that time. We aren't working in what we came out of, and we aren't working 20 years now. We're working in this day, this dispensation of time, ensuring that God's will is accomplished and his intentions fulfilled. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to ensure that God's will is done? Are you so secure in Christ that he can look at you and say, go ahead and do it? Are you listening here? Paul declared in Colossians 1:25, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul knew that his calling was for the people and not to build himself up. The word stewardship in the Greek is oikonomia. Say it again. Thank you. It is a word related to the stewardship and management of God's economy. For those chosen by God to be born and live in these fullness of times in the day of his power, and that's where we're at, the call to ministry is the high call of stewarding and administering the life of Christ in the fullness of the power and authority intended by the Lord. You just can't go out there willy-nilly. You have to be full of the power of God to do what needs to be done in this dispensation of time. We need to quit making excuses why we're too fat, too thin, too lazy. Whatever it is you're making excuses for, you have to quit. Because God can't use you if you're making excuses of why you are what you are. These songs should have all told you what you are in Christ and how much he loves you. The Bible highlights the many great leaders and saints who lived out this principle. God raises up certain people for certain times and prepares and equips them to administer his blueprint for that period. Now, from this is Wednesday, right? Sunday night, what God did here, says that you people that were here Sunday night, he raised you up and he equipped you for this time to do the work that needs to be done in this time, and he never expects to see you fall or falter ever again. And God said, then in the newness of time that you're living in, you're going to have to stay strong in the Lord and pull on him at all times. Now, Joshua was one of God's most trustworthy and faithful leaders raised up to cause the people of God to conquer and possess the promised land. I cannot help you people conquer anything if I keep patting you on the back and say, oh, poor baby. No, all poor baby does not make you strong. It's get your act together and start doing what God's called you forth to do. I was so glad I had a father who taught me well when I was younger, because I've always remembered everything he ever told me. And you know what? I'm glad he knew how to use a belt. And I'm glad that he did what he said he meant, and he did what he said. All right? Joshua 20, and this Father in heaven's the same way. How many times has he taken you to the woodshed till he finally got you together? Joshua 24:31 is testimony of his great leadership. Israel served the Lord all the days of what? Joshua. Joshua taught them how to serve God, and they stayed serving God all the days of Joshua. And Joshua 24:29 says, after that, the Lord's servant Joshua, son of Nun, died. He was 110 years old. Joshua was buried on his own land in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. The Israelites served the Lord during the time Joshua was living. After Joshua died, the people continued to serve the Lord while their leaders were alive. See that? These were the leaders who had seen what the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua died, but the other leaders saw what God did for Joshua, and they led the people down that holy path. And the people stayed with God. Your job is to serve God with all of your heart, be totally committed 100% to him, and then lead others into that same walk. You're supposed to be a witness unto these people. All right? Can you say honestly, I am a witness of who Jesus Christ really is? Am I a witness of how to really walk a holy walk, live a holy walk, talk a holy walk? God's watching. There are strategic assignments to be accomplished for every season. Keys are being brought forth by God that drives and directs our movement on the journey of drawing closer to Christ toward the completion of His divine plan. God is constantly drawing us to the third heaven where we can learn of secrets that nobody else has yet heard of. Every objective of God in every dispensation is a vital and crucial part of His unfolding plan. Each becomes a part of the momentum that moves history forward toward the climax of times at the end of the age. We are working towards the end of the age. The church has been working towards the end of the age for years now. It just didn't begin. It's just climaxing more. It's getting closer. And more things have got to be done. Ephesians 1 verse 8 says, "In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times." That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things in earth in Him. God is trying to make us understand exactly what's going on right now, because we are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We all know that. And we have to be walking holy and in righteousness in order to lead others down that same road. If you really get into your word and you read people like Paul, like Peter, like Jesus, like John the Baptist, they all walked a perfect walk. You know, Jesus could have deviated if He wanted to, but He never did. You know, and when I was first born again, I said, "Well, God, but Jesus was your son." He said, "But He was human." You know, I was used all kind of excuses at first. And then I found out, hey, you know, you can't do that. You have to face up to who you are, what you are, and what you're doing. And you have to get yourself together. The word administration in this passage is translated as dispensation and also as stewardship in other translations. So we are in a dispensation of time where God has shaken the church. As long as He's going to shake it, He's done shaking the church. If you're still in sin, then you're still in sin. And now God is moving to bring in the harvest. We are in a dispensation of time where we have to walk in holiness and righteousness. And God's been telling us that. What are you doing with that? All right, so if you haven't heard this, then you need to go to God and say, "God, I didn't understand I had to be doing that." And then let God lead you in the path that He wants you to go in. But don't make excuses for something you already know and you just have not been doing it. All right, in the context of this passage, it refers to God's administration or stewardship of a certain period of history, which Paul described as the fullness of times. God's been telling us that we're walking in the fullness of times, has He not? Every leader needs to be walking in the fullness of time with God. You need to be hearing exactly what God's doing every day so you can lead your people in the path they should be on. And if you're in here or anywhere in the sound of my voice and God called you to be a leader and you're still slipping on this side and slipping on that side, then I'd really check my salvation. Because God said He's finished with that. I would check, God, where am I at really? And then let God show you. Be honest about it. I had to tell somebody the other day they were going to go to hell. They didn't learn to love. Because I didn't want to tell them that. God said, "Daughter, I'm going to hold their blood on your hands if you do not tell them." So when I sat down to talk to them, the Holy Spirit was with me, and we had a nice conversation. But I didn't want to do that conversation, but they know. Now it's up to them what they do with their life. And I'm going to tell you, some of you sitting in here today or listening to my voice, God's told you to go to people and talk to them and tell them if they don't straighten up, they're not going to go to heaven. And you haven't done it because you don't want to make any waves. Well, you know, where do you want to sit on the final day? Do you want to sit in heaven or in hell? Because God's going to put their, you're going to have their blood on your hands when you stand before Him, if you don't warn them. All right, this passage also takes into account the Lord's servants who are appointed to partner with Him in this administration, to carry out His will and execute His campaign with authority. Let's hear this again. This passage that we just read also takes into account the Lord's servants who are appointed to partner with Him in this administration, to carry out His will and execute His campaign with authority. God has already appointed those that He wants to use in this dispensation of time. And I know that some of you know that you know that you know that you have been appointed to be used by God. You have to quit wanting to win a popularity contest. In this dispensation of time, you cannot want to be popular. The only one you want to be popular with is God. You don't look at the face. God always told me, quit looking at their faces. You just tell them what I tell you to tell them. You need to look at the face of Jesus. Is He approving of what you're doing? All right? And I'm going to tell you, God told me just last week that a lot of people are still not walking in the Spirit. They say they are, but they really aren't. And that's why they're caught betwixt and between. You know, you're not really fully in, you're not really fully out, because you're still not walking in the Spirit. You're still walking, you're still holding on to that piece of flesh. And God's been telling us, give Him that piece of flesh. Ephesians 1:10 says, describes it as a plan for the fullness of time. God has been working on an administration suitable for this dispensation, tailored and equipped to meet the challenges of the times. This is our destiny. God once told me about 2 years ago, He said, I'm going to shake this church until all I have left is a handful of people. Then with that handful of people is how I'm going to drop, what I'm going to use to drop the glory and do the mighty works that needs to be done. We've seen people come, we've seen people go. And I said, God, how many times are we going to be shaken yet? He said, until I get the right handful of people. He said, I'm working with the hearts, but the hearts won't yield to what I want them to do. So I have to shake again and bring in others and shake again and bring in others until I have the right handful of people. So maybe you have a ministry and just maybe, you know, all of a sudden somebody leaves you. Don't worry about it. God's dealing with them. They didn't answer what God, the call that God had on their life. So God pulled them out. I don't worry about that. Because I know what God's trying to do. All right, it is therefore necessary to God's interest that we, number one, understand the dynamics of the times. Number two, God's intentions for the times. And number three, know the framework and boundaries of the times. The enemy's limits within the times. And you can read that in Daniel 7. Well, we're going to read Daniel 7. And receive directions and tactical assignments to implement the plan of God. You know, one thing you cannot do is judge another minister what they're saying. If you don't approve of them, you know, you just take it to God and don't come against them. God told me that a long time ago. He said, if they say something and you don't think it's a meet, leave it alone. You just go on and do what I'm calling you for to do. Don't you worry about what they're saying. If they're doing something wrong, I will correct them. I don't want you to lose your ministry by judging them. All right. Daniel 7:24 says the 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this fourth kingdom. After those 10 kings are gone, another king will come. He will be different from the kings who ruled before him, and he will defeat 3 of the other kings. This king, this is a dream that Daniel had. Okay. This king will speak against the Most High God, and he will hurt and kill God's holy people. He will try to change times and laws that have already been set. The holy people that belong to God will be in that king's power for 3.5 years. But the court will decide what should happen. The power of the king will be taken away, and his kingdom will be completely destroyed. Then the holy people who belong to the Most High God will have the power to rule. They will rule over all the kingdoms under heaven with power and greatness, and their power to rule will last forever. People from all other kingdoms will respect and serve them. Now, we verse 26 here says, but the court will decide. And who is the court? It is God. You know, and God started bringing about out about the courtroom of heaven. I never saw the court's things in the Bible before. I never really did. But now every place you read, there's always something about the court. It's always been there. But for some reason or other, most of us didn't see it. Now God wants us to know there is a courtroom in heaven, and he is the judge. And he judges righteously. So everything you do really should take to the courtroom and let God do that, be the judge of it. And verse 28 in Daniel says, that was the end of the dream. I, Daniel, was very afraid. My face became white from fear, but I kept everything to myself. Now, see, in here, the devil is going to rule and reign over us. And we know right now the devil is ruling and reigning as much as he can here in this earth. He's bringing all of his darkness that he has with him, and he's doing diabolical things. We are not supposed to get upset about that. We are supposed to fast and pray about the things that the enemy's doing. And we need to put this in God's hands where it should stay. We should never take it out of his hands and trust him and know that he has all things already mapped out. And all we have to do is listen for his voice every day and do what he's commanding us to do. All right? If we do that, we won't go astray. One thing I like about this church is that you guys have really matured greatly in God, and you're always giving me little tidbits of things that God's showing you, and God has shown you guys wonderful things, and he's showing you what he's going to do, what your part is in it, and I think that's absolutely wonderful. I really do. Now, what you need to do is stay bound to Christ and keep every, because he said to everybody, come to me every day. Listen for my still small voice, because I want to give you instruction. Now, if you don't go to him every day and listen for that still small voice and don't get instruction, it's not God's fault. It's yours, because you didn't take time out to sit before the Father and see what he wanted you to do for that day. Are you understanding this? You can't lead people unless God's leading you. And you can't lead people unless you're obeying what God's telling you to do. And if you're forevermore trying to nitpick another minister, then you're not even a leader. And God said, all you are is a follower. Are you listening? Best thing you do, just quit listening to other ministers if you think you have to nitpick. You know, just spend your time reading your word and just listen to God's voice. Then you won't know what somebody else is saying. 1 Peter 4, and so you say, well, they're leading people astray, are they? In your opinion, they are, but are they? You don't know why God's having, you don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Give them to God. Just say, God, they're yours, and just go on and mind your own business. All right, so whenever Jimmy Swaggart fell, I knew he was in trouble. That day he threw his Bible on the floor and stomped on it. And God said, he was into the sin he was in. He said, but don't you talk about him, because I'm going to raise him back up, and he's going to win many, many souls for me. So what did I do? I prayed for him, and I wouldn't let anybody else talk to me about what he did. I said, God said to leave him alone. I'm leaving him alone. Look what he's doing today. Out there ministering, leading many souls to Christ. So each one of you forget when you fell. You know, some people don't know you fell. Except you. So that's why you're not being judged. It's only you and God know that you fell, and God doesn't broadcast that you fell. 1 Peter 4:11. If your gift is speaking, your words should be like words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives. Then it is God who will be praised in everything through Christ Jesus. Power and glory belong to him forever and ever. Amen. Whatever your gift is, use it to your strongest ability in Christ. And ask God to keep strengthening that gift. Keep giving you authority in that gift. Keep giving you wisdom with that gift. All right? The prophets of Israel were called forth as stewards of the oracles of God and witnesses to the world of the living God. They lived supernatural lives, functioning in gifts and abilities sourced from another realm, which was God. This present hour the saints prepared and brought forth to serve God will be a unique people, bold and courageous, who stand firm, tethered to Him by humility and the fear of the Lord. And isn't that what God said Sunday night? This is what you are. You are unique, you are bold, and you're ready to go forth. They are called forth for the stewardship of a unique season of fullness. When everything has matured to its fullness, both good and evil, the season of harvest. This is what you've been called into, the season of harvest. But God took us through many, many steps to get us to this place. And you're about the time you think, oh boy, I'm finally there. God tweaks you a little bit and shows you, no, you're not there yet. You still have to work in this area in your life. And how many has God done that to? That's not to be ashamed of. It really isn't. And you should be a testimony of that. I really thought I had it made, but God showed me I was wrong. You know, I had this wrong with me, and God straightened me up. What does that do? That encourages the person you're ministering to. It shows them that God is not going to throw them to the wayside because they messed up. Why can't we be honest with one another? Ask yourself that. Why can we not be honest with one another? Because you don't want anybody to know what's in your closet. Amen. You shouldn't have a closet. As somebody told me one time, you just tell too much about yourself. I said, no, I don't want no skeletons in my closet. I'm going to let you know where I'm at and what I'm doing and what God's doing about it. And nobody can come up here and say, see what she did? You see what I'm saying? Somebody told me about a month ago, I'm just going to come into your church and I'm just going to tell the people who you are and what you're all about. I said, go ahead. I want you to really do that. They haven't come yet. But I do. I want them to do that. Maybe they know something about me I don't know. You know, and they're going to reveal it, and then I have to take care of it, right? The devil doesn't have anything on me. He cannot pull me down because God keeps me up. All right, the high calling of God. The responsibility to execute the stewardship is authorized by a walk of integrity and faithfulness to the call, and undergirded by a resolution of unwillingness to compromise or surrender. To such a heart is the high call of God given. God dealt with us about compromise, and did He not? He told us, don't ever compromise. He really dealt with us a lot about that. I think that you guys got the gist of what He was trying to say, because I don't see any of you compromising, and I thank God for that. I really do. These saints will be moving in heightened discernment and in the fullness of the administration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see that? These saints will be moving in heightened discernment and in the fullness of the ministration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They will be a people who have attended the full glory of sonship the Father intended, a people conformed to the image of the Son. You know, we asked Sister Grace to start putting an article in the bulletin about praise. And I read in her articles, I said, I didn't know she had this in her. She writes beautiful articles. She's sitting there all meek and mild, you know, just. And the woman's full of knowledge that other people see. How about y'all? You're just sitting there and really you're full of knowledge that the body of Christ needs to hear. Start giving it. Start putting it out there for others to hear and see and learn by. I encourage everybody in this church, if I know you have a gift, I pull on you and I pull on you and I encourage you to bring that gift forward. You don't want to stifle it. You know, you want to grow it. And if you're a leader and you're gifted, don't be ashamed of your gifting. If you don't understand it, you can ask me and I'll try to help you with it. Because I didn't understand my gifting. The pastors told me to sit down and shut up, that I was of the devil. I didn't believe that, though. Yeah, that was dumb. Don't tell me I'm the devil. All right, Philippians chapter 3 is a passage written by Paul toward the end of his life. In it, he shares his great longing to know Christ at a deeper and higher level in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That's Philippians 3:12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, he said, I haven't yet attained. I'm still pressing into God. There's still more things that I need to understand. And isn't that what God told us? We need to press in Him, come to the third heaven, because there's secrets up there yet we don't know of, and He wants to reveal them to us. Instead of you fighting and going out and cussing and carrying on and carousing and drinking your drinks and whatever you do, stay at home and seek God's face. You can really, you'd be happy doing that. Really, you would, because God is exciting. And, you know, He's really neat to talk to. And sometimes you say, you know, Lord, I really didn't want to hear that, but you hear it anyhow. Amen? Come on. He's not like your friend who won't tell you the truth, right? No, I forgot where I'm at. Where am I at, guy? Paul's words. Okay, Paul's words reveal that he was pressing on to attain something far greater than he had thus far experienced in his life. He was pressing on for more. I don't know about you, but I say, God, I want more. I don't know about you, but I'm sort of tired. I'm stagnant. We've been in this place too long. We need more of you. Yeah, I'm tired of just coming into services and singing songs and you know, getting the message, and you know, God does great things, I know, but there's so much more. We are still not into the greater works that God wants us into. And if you're content where you're at, well, I'm sorry. I'm not. Because there's so much more right now that God is trying to pull out of us. And we need to quit leaning to our own understanding and keep saying, God, I need you more today than I did yesterday. All right. He was pressing on for more. That was captured in his cry to apprehend the fullness for which Christ had apprehended him. Paul referred to this prize as a high calling of God. So what is a high calling of God? It seems clear that Paul's desire was not simply that of a literal resurrection from the dead, according to his words, not as though I had already attained. No, in the Greek language, the words high call or upward call mean a mandate and an invitation to come up higher. We have that. We have that. He's been saying, come up higher. And if he hasn't said that to you, then you're not close to God. He's been saying, come up higher, come up hither. I want you up here in the third heaven where we can commune one with the other. Well, what's our problem, church? I hope we're not deaf and dumb, that we don't hear and understand what God's saying. All right, the definition of the word high adds further light as to Paul's intent. High, passing above the normal level, great or greater than normal in quantity or intensity. Some might say that Paul was moving in great signs and wonders. However, the cry of Paul's heart shows that there is much, much more for us to experience in God. And Paul was working in great signs and wonders, but that didn't mean anything to Paul. There was something else he wanted from God. Paul was straining, pressing, and reaching forward for this prize to grasp and lay hold of the fullness of his inheritance in Christ. There is a coming level of resurrection power that is going to be released, and we know that. God's told us this. In its fullness within the saints that extends far above what we have yet seen. Remember, God said, don't be surprised at what I have you do. He's been telling us, don't be surprised. So we know it's going to be something we've never seen. We know it's something that's going to knock us off our feet, because God keeps saying, don't be surprised. Some of you are so content just sitting in your little pigsty. I feel sorry for you. I really do. God. There is so much more that you can do. Why even bother coming to church if all you're going to do is just sit there and say, that was a nice service, and walk out and not be changed? You need to be working on being changed. You really do. My cry is whenever we have a service, God, please change the people. Please don't let them come in one way and leave the same way. Do something different to their life. But you have a lot to do with that. If you don't want it, God's not going to give it to you. All right. Paul's goal was reaching for the prize of the high of knowing Christ in this level of resurrection power. Now, the power of his resurrection. Paul prayed that the saints would also know this great power and understand the possibilities of what embracing their true identity as sons of God meant for their lives and consequently for the world. You know, this isn't just for you. This is for the lost people out there who don't know Christ, or even the lost people who were in church but never were really taught about God. They just went to church. Give me your 10% and be good, and then everything's fine. That was not ever God. And you never learned anything except be good and give 10%. I don't want your money. I want your soul. God doesn't want your money. He wants your soul. And I think it's sad that so many people sit in the house of God. How many in here are ministers already? Anybody? Nobody? You hear what I'm saying tonight? But God, all right, I'm going to count, hold you accountable. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places." This is what Paul wants, your eyes, your understanding, be enlightened of all the things that God is trying to do through your life. All right, resurrection power is a new dynamic and DNA of saints born again in Christ. We are now supernatural beings by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, as the scriptures clearly show. In Matthew 9:8, "Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men." People will look at you and say, wow. They have to be with God for them to be doing the things they're doing, you know. But do people say that about you, or are you just a normal? Why do you want to be? I know why you do drugs, because you want to be normal. Everybody else is walking around their head in somewhere else other than where it should be, so I'll just be just like them. Well, why would not be different? Why not be different? Ask yourself that, why am I just like everybody else? God said few is going to find that narrow path, right? God also said that you have to work out your salvation daily. Somebody else can't do it, all right? And God also said he's going to hold you accountable for what you did with what he gave you. He's not going to hold his buddy who you thought you needed to run with. He's going to hold you accountable for it. All right, Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." I really do believe some of you need to tarry until you are endued with the power from on high. I really don't think you tarried yet, and that's why you're still in your sin, have your sin nature, because the Holy Spirit changes you. It does. And if you aren't changed and you're still the same as you were the day that you gave your heart to God, do yourself a favor and God a favor and sit in his presence and just talk to him and allow him to come and saturate you. He is doing that now, you know, to different people. All right, God's superheroes. The disciples lived a life in demonstration of this indwelling power, administering it in the boldness and courage granted by the Holy Spirit. Who lived it? The disciples, and you're saying you're a disciple of God, right? Then what are you demonstrating? I hope that you're thinking, because this is thought-provoking tonight, and I hope you're understanding, are you really on your way to heaven or are you on your way to hell? It's very important that we understand that. The Old Testament provides many accounts of those who serve God displaying his power. For example, Moses in the power of God parted the Red Sea. Exodus 14:13-18. But Moses answered, "Don't be afraid. Don't run away. Stand where you are and watch the Lord save you today. You will never see these Egyptians again. You will not have to do anything, but stay calm. The Lord will do the fighting for you." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you still crying to me? Tell the Israelites to start moving. Raise the walking stick in your hand over the Red Sea, and the sea will split. Then the people can go across on dry land. I have made the Egyptians brave, so they will chase you. But I will show you that I am more powerful than Pharaoh and all of his horses and chariots. Then Egypt will know that I am the Lord. They will honor me when I defeat Pharaoh and his horse, soldiers, and chariots. Elijah parted the River Jordan and stopped the rain from falling for 3 years. 2 Kings 7-8, there were 50 men from the group of prophets who followed them. Elijah and Elisha stopped at the Jordan River, so the 50 men stood far away from Elijah and Elisha. Elijah took off his coat, a piece of his clothing, folded it, and hit the water with it. The water separated to the right and to the left. Then Elijah and Elisha crossed the river on dry ground. What would happen if you took a piece of your clothes off and hit the ground? You'd probably stir up the dirt, right? This is what God wants us to do. James 5:17-18, Elijah was a person just like us. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then Elijah prayed that it would rain, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land grew crops again. Both he and Elijah, with the help of angel armies, accomplished many supernatural feats and miracles. In battle, Joshua asked God to turn back time, and it was granted. Come on. Will he turn back time for you? Joshua 10:9 says, Joshua and his army marched all night to Gibeon, so it was a complete surprise when he attacked them. The Lord caused those armies to be very confused when Israel attacked. So Israel defeated them and won a great victory. Israel chased the enemy from Gibeon along the road going up to Beth Horon. The army of Israel killed men all the way to Azek and whatever. Then they chased the enemy down the road from Beth Horon. While they were chasing the enemy, the Lord caused large hailstones to fall from the sky. Many of the enemy were killed by these large hailstones. More men were killed by the hailstones than by the swords of the soldiers of Israel. And on that day, the Lord gave Israel the victory against the Amorites. Joshua stood before all the Israelites and said to the Lord, Sun, stop over Gibeon. Moon, stand still over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun did not move and the moon stopped until the people defeated their enemies. Now, can you do that? Come on. This story is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky. It did not move for a full day. That had never happened before and has never happened again. That was the day the Lord obeyed a man. The Lord really was fighting for Israel. And as a man, Jesus walked the earth displaying marvelous supernatural power. He healed the sick of all diseases and raised the dead. He walked on water and commanded a storm to be still, demonstrating power over all natural elements. Yet Jesus declared to his followers that they would do greater works than he did. You know, it says here that the Lord obeyed a man. The one time, you know, when I raised a man from the dead, and then he was going to die. God told him he's going to die again. And he said, but I said, no, he can't die again. And then God said, well, if he lives, he won't come to heaven. If I take him right now, he's saved and sanctified, and he'll go to heaven. He said, but it's up to you. Do you want me to let him live? You want him to die? He said, it's up to you. I said, God, go ahead and take him because I want him to go to heaven. And God said, he'll die at 5:00 in the morning. And he did. So here, God listened to man and God listened to me. And I know there's many other people across the land who God listens to. I know there are. Jesus' words became a reality for the disciples, who began moving out in signs and wonders and supernatural power, in the gifts of healing and wisdom and in knowledge of events. Some even raised people from the dead. So what did the disciples do? They went out in supernatural power, in the gifts of healing, in wisdom, and in foreknowledge of events. Some even raised people from the dead. I raised 3 people from the dead when I was first ministering. And people were supernaturally healed. God did many, 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 many miracles for about 35 years, I think it was. And you're probably going to say, well, then what's going on now? I don't know. I had the same question before God. And I'm even sick. And I said, God, I did all those things through Christ. The only thing I couldn't do was stand on the water. I didn't have enough faith for that. I even spoke to the wind and the wind stopped. Come on, I know that you can do these things if you're walking 100% with God. I know you can. I've experienced it. And I know just by you, your shadow walking by somebody, they can be healed or delivered. I know that because I experienced all that. If you don't think that I'm not in a dry place, you got another thought coming. Because once you walk in a supernatural power, as God had me walk in for, I think, about 40 years, really, and then do this for 20 years, you are not happy. And your question before God every day is, why, God? Is the anointing not there to do that? Where is the power? I don't know what God's up to, but we'll find out pretty soon. But I'm telling you all right now, you can do the impossible through Christ. But you're going to have to walk with God. You're going to have to suffer. God's going to take things from you and you're going to cry. But you'll say, all right, God, if that's what it takes, come on. I don't want to hear none of your, I don't want to hear none of your excuses. I've been there with God and I'm still with God. The anointing, I mean, God did tell me though, 20 years ago, he said, I'm taking the Holy Spirit out of the church. I'm taking healing out of the church. Reason why is because the people are walking all over the Holy Spirit and they're blaspheming him and I won't have it no more. But then he did say, what, about a year or two ago, I am going to bring healing back into the church. Going to bring. He did not say, I have brought. There is a difference. So it's coming. And he promised me that the Lighthouse Church would lead the people to Christ here in this area. So I'm standing on that promise, still watching that, waiting for that to happen. You know, guys, just because God told you something 10 years ago and it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. What is tested greatly is your faith. And are you going to compromise? You can never compromise. I've lost many, many friends, even family members, but I will not compromise my walk with God. I won't. They didn't call me, and they are not going to take me out. All right, the disciple Philip traveled from one city to another supernaturally. Acts 8, you know, and I read one time where these two pastors, they needed to be in another state, and they were tied up in traffic, and they were not going to get there, and it was going to be a mess. And they prayed, and they were sitting in this, I'll say Ohio, I don't know what it was. They were sitting in Ohio on the freeway, and they prayed together, and the next second they were sitting in that church parking lot in different states far away. So that was supernatural, okay? So the disciple Philip traveled from one city to another supernaturally. And Acts 39 says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip was baptized in the eunuch. As soon as he was baptized, God took Philip and transported him to another city. God is going to do that again. With the gas shortage, that would be wonderful, right? Well, not shortage, but the price of the gas, you know? All right, that looks like supernatural power. As preparation for moving in the high call of God, I heard the Lord say the word hone. To hone the gifts and skills given to us means to sharpen as a blade, refine or perfect something, honing skills, give greater strength or firmness to the body or a part of the body. So 1 Corinthians 12:7 declares that we have each been given power that functions through 9 gifts administered in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, God will have a people of superior supernatural proneness moving into powers of the age to come above the normal or average normal. And you guys, they come here all the time. God told you Sunday night you had attained that place. These are the sons of God the earth is traveling to bring forth. And Hebrews 6:5 says, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age. Are the clash of two kingdoms. The clash of two kingdoms will be dramatic as God releases his own superheroes prepared for the hour. In Zechariah 9:13, warriors whose faces are set, that's you guys, there'll be warriors whose faces are set, sons of Zion raised up to war against the sons of Greece. Their God has made them like the sword of a mighty man. The Lord will be seen over them. God's promise of everybody's going to know that God is with you. For the fullness of time, our God-given supernatural gifts will be released to function at a much higher level than ever seen in Scripture. A new breed is emerging, fashioned for the challenge of the climax of history. You know, when I first started in the ministry, it was in the late 70s, I think it was. But anyhow, people would walk into the church. God would show me they had demons, and I would say, come out in Jesus' name, and they'd leave. One time there was my praise and worship leader had a shirt on, it was demonic. I went over to him, ripped it off. Sent one of my kids, I said, you're not wearing that demonic shirt in this church. And I sent one of the kids up to get my husband's shirt, and he went around telling her, she's crazy. She ripped my shirt right off me. And that's just, I was bold. I was just bold. No devil was going to sit in the church. You know? Come on, devil. You want to come in here, then you're going to suffer the consequences. Get out. All right? And we was in there one night, and the devil decided to act up. And I said, okay, we're getting rid of you before we start the service. And we were doing deliverance, and so they were in their fight with one another, the devils were. And we sent one person outside with one guy, and I kept the other guy inside. And here my neighbors had just watched, scary movie is. Yeah, Exorcist. And they were out there in my driveway doing exorcism on this kid. And levitated. Yeah, he was levitated. And there was a man is just like Chris Gore's stature laying on him, couldn't make him come down. And he went, Mom, come see what they're doing. Come see what they're doing. And she went out there, and they watched the whole thing, scared out of their pants. But anyhow, we got him both free. And the next day she came over, she said, I have to ask you something. I said, what? She said, were you really delivering demons on them people yet last night? I said, yes. What they had done was crawled over to our trees so they could peek around the trees and watch, get a good view. And she said, well, they just watched that movie, and they were already scared. And then they saw it in person. It's like they scared the pants off them. But they become believers in exorcism. Amen. I lived in the country, by the way. Now it's not country anymore, it's a city, I think. But anyhow, I don't know where I'm at. It is time for the saints of God to get the revelation of the power and great treasure that resides within you. Through Christ in you, the hope of glory. The high call of God is achievement unto glory in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The day of the culmination of all things is a day of his power. Well, I don't know what you expected when you came tonight, and I didn't know what I was going to be doing tonight, but I hope that you understand what God said to you. I hope you understand that you can no longer play around with God and your salvation. I hope you understand that you could drop dead when you walk outside the door. You could drop dead as you're sitting in your seat, and where would you go? Where would you go? I ask my kids this all the time. Where would you go? Little Isaiah was jumping down throwing a fit the other day, and I said, you know, if you die right now, you go to hell. No, I won't. You know, I'm not going to play with my kids. You have to be real with everybody. Your kids have got to know at a young age, hey, there is a heaven, there is a hell. And your kids have got to know you can't play around with God, because God does not like to be played with. All right, when the saints volunteer freely, the leaders lead courageously and willingly, and heaven invades planet Earth with the glory of the Christ, this day, well, that is the culmination of the day of his power. And this is what will happen. The saints will volunteer freely, the leaders lead courageously and willingly, and heaven invades planet Earth with the glory of the Christ. This day will occur as the armies of heaven march in unison with God's army on Earth to take the promised land. The angels are going to fight with us. It will be said as it was said of Israel when they gathered corporately to advance into the land. The shout of a king was among them. That king is Jesus. People are going to know you serve God. They're going to know you're not fooling around. You can't go to the bar and say, hey, buddy, let's just have a beer. And then say, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Get out of here. I don't want to know that kind of Lord. Amen. God is calling the saints to be bold, to come up higher into the upward and high call of God, and to take our positions in the battle against evil. Are you ready to do that tonight?